Well, of course, it's been a massive week in politics. We've just spoken about the US election. But of course, there was, for us locally, a more important event in the political realm. Of course, the Queensland election was held just under a week ago today. A stunning result, really, you'd have to say, for the Palaszczuk government. Lots of polls, lots of speculation that particularly regional Queensland would be much, much closer than what eventuated as the results came in on Saturday night. I'm really honoured to have my next guest in studio, long-serving MP, passionate North Queenslander, and also a lovely bloke. Curtis Pitt, welcome to the King Review.
G'day, Gavin. How are you?
Now, look, we don't want to talk too much about the results. It feels like a lifetime ago, given the news cycle this week in particular. But look, it certainly was a surprise. Were you surprised, particularly in those regional areas, the results for Labor?
Look, I think at the outset, I saw the New Zealand election, and seeing what happened there, I was suggesting that we were going to see some kind of Ardern undercurrent. Mm. You know, or a Palaszczuk undercurrent, if you like, in our election, but it wasn't showing up in the polls. So this was really just a bit of a gut feeling from me. You know, is it 2%? Is it 4%? You know, it ends up being about a 5% swing. But I always thought that the health issues would play out the way that they did. Interestingly enough, I mean, whilst there were a lot of other issues that people were interested in regional Queensland, it's clear that the further away you got from Brisbane, the better people thought the performance on health was. And so in that regard, I was not surprised that we saw quite a number of regional seats have a swing to the government. It was just a matter of what the swing was going to be. But equally, and you know, politics is a funny game, you know, some of those pressure point issues could well have snatched, you know, precedence in that last couple of weeks, which started to make the health you know, responses seem a lot more like ancient history rather than what are you going to do for me next?
Mm. I find it fascinating that in Townsville and Cairns in particular, the LNP obviously ran a very big campaign on the issue of crime, and whether whether we like it or not, the stats may tell a different story. There is a perception that crime is a massive problem in our part of the world, and yet that did not seem to sway. Particularly, you look at Cairns and Townsville in particular, you know, Labor had a swing towards them. So I find that fascinating that obviously crime didn't bite as much as the LNP thought. And then the other interesting thing, I think, is you look at obviously the US election, which we've just discussed. You think about Trump's performance on COVID-19, an absolute disaster. And yet, you know, in a state like Florida, you know, it's an older, or pockets of an older population who you think would be feel vulnerable. He won that state. So it's fascinating that, as you said, in New Zealand and here in Queensland, the great management of COVID paid dividends at the polling booth, and yet in other areas it didn't. I want to talk to you now. You've been an MP for a number of years. Everyone who knows you and meets you, you know, you're humble, you're hardworking, you know, feet on the ground. I want to just, I guess, talk a little bit about complacency, where you think about Labor did so well, particularly in our part of the world. Cook, you know, there was talk about Cook could be in danger with Katter and the other minor parties. You know, Barron River, of course, as we know, was a very hotly contested seat. It didn't end up that way. And so Labor certainly, in the four seats up here, much safer than you were 3 years ago at the last election. How do you maintain the passion and the hunger? How do the MPs maintain that hunger and that passion and the delivery? Don't get complacent, don't get arrogant, and actually keep delivering and fighting for the community.
Well, I'm just going to take one step back and say that I got elected for my fifth term, and that seems like it's quite ridiculous. At the same time, I feel every single year of it. Mm. But look, to your issue around crime, I just want to say that, look, it's youth crime has been happening since the Roman times, and it's always been billed to be the biggest issue from, you know, particular side of politics. So I'm not surprised by that in itself, but I will say that when you look at the issue of complacency, those are the sorts of issues which people will, I think, judge a government on over a longer period of time. So some things can't be fixed in a term. And now that we've got fixed four-year terms, clearly that there's going to be more of an expectation that people will
but
achieve
just
something.
Just to pick you up there, though, that, you know, crime has been an issue, as you said, for a long time. Labor has been in government for a long time in Queensland. Whatever it is, 25 of the last 28 years, or you'd know better. You know better than me. And yet, it doesn't seem to be much progress being made. Why is that, and why would a four-year term change the issue of crime?
Well, it's not 4 years isn't the answer to the crime issue. The answer to the crime issue is parents. It's a complex issue. Clearly, Queensland's not the only jurisdiction. You could have the same government in play in New South Wales for 30 years, and they've still got the same problems with crime. So my point is this. It's a complex issue which requires people to have a really hard look at the causes of crime, not what happens at the other end of it. The bit of a complacency point is a point well made. There are a number of people who I think can get carried away with the result that we've seen in Queensland. It's certainly, a big part of that is the Premier's leadership and the health response. But equally, without those things in play, it would have been a more even contest. And I think on those issues, I still think it would have had a similar result in terms of the government being retained. However, it starts getting to the points of other things that people may not have focused as much on. So I think the next 4 years is a really critical time for the government to reinvent itself, to figure out what it did right in its first term, because I think a lot of things were done very well then, and I think to say that who are the new people and what's the new way of thinking. So they've got to do it, because otherwise, you're dead right, that's what happens. People do get complacent. They feel as though they can just keep rolling things over.
Coast along.
Absolutely. And look, one thing I know, and Gavin, you know this very well, you were a winner in 2012, many others weren't. What happens in that regard is people ask about safe seats all the time. I just say that the definition of safe seat should be taken out of the dictionary. And, from here on in, all seats are up for grabs, because there are just too many volatile factors, I think, if you like. So that plays into the complacency as well. People can't be complacent as an elected person, and equally governments as a macro manager of our state can't be complacent either.
Well, we do, of course, miss you as Treasurer. Keith DeLacy obviously did an incredible job when he was Treasurer and a former member for Cairns, and everyone would agree you did a great job as Treasurer as well, and put that focus on the regions. You, of course, would be, very upset, no doubt, to see Jackie Trad exit stage left on Saturday in South Brisbane. But there are some vacancies. You talked about revitalisation. Your position going forward, you're obviously Speaker at the moment. You must want to be back at the Cabinet table, surely.
No, not particularly. And look, the reason why is this. I was very pleased and honoured to be Treasurer. I set out a plan. I had a job to do. I did the job. And so in many respects, the job that I was charged with in the first place was done. Now, I would have loved to have continued in the role. However, I don't feel as though I left a lot of things undone. So in that regard, I feel a sense of accomplishment. As to being back at the Cabinet table, I've spent the last 3 years as nearly 3 years as Speaker, and I've found that I've been able to play a role as a quiet influencer in a way that I didn't expect I'd be able to.
Would you accept the call-up if you got it, though?
No.
You wouldn't?
No. My heart's set on being Speaker, and the reason being is that the Parliament itself has to function well, and the only way to ensure that you have an opposition that can really keep a government to account is if the opposition has a fair shake. And equally, the government has its agenda, and it needs to be able to do that without games and trickery. I've earned a reputation as Speaker as being tough but fair. I think by the end of the last term, I think I had as many people in the opposition saying nice things about us as I did for the government. And as you know, in politics, if everyone's just a little bit upset, it's probably the right outcome.
You're doing the right thing. We're running out of time, but I just want to finally get you on, I guess, the economy in our part of the world. Obviously, incredibly tough time, and still is. Lots of people I speak to in business very worried. In fact, going forward, some of that federal government support comes off. Your take, your helicopter view on, how does Cairns and the far north emerge on the other side of this crisis?
Well, one thing I would hope would happen now that we've got a state election out of the way would be to see some of that cooperation that we saw at the beginning of the COVID phase between the federal government and all of the states and territories.
That's an optimistic view.
Well,
I hope it happens.
But the National Cabinet, I mean, people ask me, why did that work and not COAG? I always say, well, COAG was, you know, really set up by departmental people as an officials arrangement, and everyone was just thrown into a room and expected to agree on what all the officials decided. Mm. Whereas a cabinet process is a very different process, and when you're in cabinet, you're sort of bound by cabinet solidarity, and even if someone's not from your side of politics, you still have this sense of agreeing because of its cabinet.
So it seemed to break down, though.
Yeah,
didn't
it did. But I think you can imagine there was a whole lot of political pressures that emerged. And look, every time an election comes up, you see it. So look, I'd hope that we can see a bit more cooperation, and that goes to trying to support things in Cairns, like our magnificent boat building and maintenance and sustainment that we can do. Mm. I also believe, at the moment there's a very generous incentives in place for people in terms of housing. So I think housing construction, particularly in my electorate of Mulgrave, Southern Corridor, going through to Mount Peter and Gordonvale, massive opportunities there. And those are the sorts of things could be a great baseline. Mm-hmm. I think if you throw on top of that all the civil construction that's happening with the roadworks, there's a lot of things there to keep people in work and to keep people spending in the community. Mm-hmm. The missing factors, of course, are tourism. Mm-hmm. And we need to get tourists back, both domestic and international. Mm-hmm. International are a way off. But I've been very, very buoyed by the excitement that I've seen from Australians, not just coming to Queensland, but coming up to far north Queensland. Mm. And so I think that's got to happen. But look, something that, as Speaker, I was able to work on a project that I'm really proud of, and that is to get a film studio for far north Queensland. Mm. That's just another example of diversification of the economy. Mm. So we've got to start doing more of those things. And look, the demand for content, for streaming content is outpacing the ability to produce it. So if we can get one of these in place, we're going to do extremely well here.
Well, your next job, of course, Curtis, when you leave, is to get on the phone to the Premier and say, open those borders. I think it's time. Given what's happened in New South Wales in the last 48 hours, the election's been won. It was obviously very popular. Let's open up the borders. I'll leave that with you. Curtis Pitt, an absolute pleasure as always. Congratulations yet again, as you said, on your fifth term. Keep doing what you're doing for the region, and thanks for being on The King Review.
My pleasure. Good to see you.